Hey everyone, welcome back to the next episode of the On the Brink podcast. Again, I am the host, Emily Brink, and today I have a very special guest. One of my college friends from Illinois Wesleyan, Nick Kokorikis, is joining me today. Hey, Nick.
Hey, hey.
Glad to have you on. So, Nick and I met freshman year at Illinois Wesleyan University, like I said, and we kind of met in a random way. I don't even remember really like how exactly we met.
I was trying to think about that too in preparation, but it's just like, I there's not like one specific like moment, I guess.
No, I just remember like a group of people being together and like you were in that group, but I don't remember like the first gathering. I just remember kind of like once we met and once we started hanging out, like it was just a group that became a thing. And so between like me and you and a bunch of other people, I feel like we had such a fun freshman year. Like it was, we were going out all the time. We were hanging out. We lived in that like conjoined dorm. If you know Illinois Wesleyan, you know, there's like this giant freshman dorm that is connected, like every floor is connected by a lounge. And so you didn't live on my floor, but you lived like in the same building, right? You lived in Ferg.
No. Yeah, but you were across the way, weren't you?
No, I lived in Ferg.
What? Okay. See, it's been 7 years now, which makes just, I guess that dates us saying it's been 7 years, hasn't it?
Oh my gosh. Okay, we weren't supposed to talk about how long it's been. But anyway, it's been a long time. I've known Nick for a while. We'll go into like more college stories in a minute, but I just wanted to introduce him. He was an international business major in college and then also a football player too. So many, many sides to Nick here. So I'll let him introduce himself now.
Yeah. So let me just say, super excited to be on the podcast. Listen every week. It's, you never know what you're going to get. It's always exciting just to pull up the episode and be like, oh, it's a fun little treat for the afternoon on Monday afternoon. But yeah, thanks. Like Emily was saying, I'm Nick. 7 years now knowing each other. Doing the math, that's a long time. But it's gone by quickly. I feel like the way you were talking about, like, I feel like meeting freshman year, like everyone has like those stories of like the people they met freshman year or like, you know, very early on. And it's like, oh, we just like knew each other for the 4 years of college. And it was like a good friendship and things like that. Like, I feel like everyone's got those stories and that's pretty much ours. And then it just turned into going to performances of yours or Megan's or really anyone that I was really invited over to. And that was sort of like I didn't, Emily said I was football player, international business major. So I didn't have like, you guys were my friends like in the arts. So used that to get into performances. And then that may have been procrastination for homework or projects or whatever, going to those things sometimes, but no, they were good. And we can get into specific ones if you want, but I don't remember leaving one thinking it was like a bad production. They were, and we can get into this too with the School of Music news, but great productions all around.
Yeah, well, I want to say that you going to our performances was awesome. Like, we really appreciated that. I, at least speaking for myself, I really appreciated that. I know like you would bring your friends sometimes too. I have like pictures on my phone from like a performance where like you and another friend like took some selfies on my phone like during that performance while you were like also recording for me. But yeah, I mean, it was just such a fun time and like having a variety of friends. Like, I would have never been friends with, this sounds horrible, but like I wouldn't have been friends with you had we not met in the dorm situation, because like music majors are so separate.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a thing, that's just like a thing everywhere. Music majors kind of stick to themselves and can be known as like being a little bit like clicky or I don't know. Like,
well, no, it works both ways. I mean, like, I'm definitely not the only person that, like, did not like ever step foot in presser that like didn't have a reason to, you know, like there people just get in like those like silos of like, this is what I like. These are my friends. This is like, this is what we have in common. And it's like, you feel safe there when it's like, it actually benefits you a lot. If you, you know, go to a performance, go see Hansel and Gretel, or, you know, just step out and, you know, meet new people.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it was awesome having the support of you and your friends, like not as musicians. And I mean, like you were saying,
that's a very important distinction to make right here, is non-musicians. That's the point to hit.
I mean, I guess we should clarify. Yeah, you're not really a musician, but you appreciate the arts, obviously. Oh, yeah. So that's great. And yeah, we need more of you. We need more people like you out there doing that.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with the School of Music. So,
Yes. If you have not listened yet, listen to episode 4, I believe.
You've done so many now, it's hard to keep track.
Yeah,
huh?
I'm just getting so lost in the numbers. But look for the Save the IWU School of Music episode if you need to update yourself on what's going on there. They're trying to get rid of the School of Music, and that decision is actually coming up in the next couple weeks. So, you know, stay tuned, because I'm sure once a decision is comes to, I will try to update everyone. And I'm sure if it's not good, I'll have something to say about it. But at that point, it might be too late. But anyway, that aside, some good memories that you were a part of from the School of Music. You said you went and saw Hansel and Gretel. Yeah. At the, it was at the BCPA actually.
Yep. Oh yeah. And then there was another one at the BCPA. What was it? It was like Victorian era, like French or Spanish something.
Did you see a concert or an opera?
No, it was a opera.
Well, you probably saw The Marriage of Figaro, like the children.
Yep, that's the one.
So you saw like all of these like matinee performances.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Gotcha. And you saw them with your class, right?
Some were with class, some not. But yeah, the children's opera one, I just remember because it was like, that one was with a class, and it was like our class of like 25 business major students. And then we went to like the like 2:30 in the afternoon one on like a Wednesday or Thursday, and we were just a bunch of like 10-year-old kids from like school, just hopped off the bus, just sitting around us. It was a weird group to sit around, but they loved it too. So
yeah, no, that's so fun. And then so that you're talking about Hansel and Gretel as like the children's one, and then you also saw Le Nozze, and then you also you've supported me like all the years that I was performing, which is so awesome. I mean, I know you went to a concert, which could not have been the most fun thing for a non-music major.
It was fun, because I think I got a little dressed up. Like we're going to a concert. And then, no, I got dressed up for that. And then there was like an after party that we all went to. And I was like, oh no, like people are still wearing their like tuxedos and like stuff like that. And I walked in and I was like, oh, I am not dressed properly for this at all.
Oh, that's so funny. Wait, was it like a music party that we all went to after?
Yeah. It was at one of the
like PMA.
Or it was like an off campus, like apartment, I think, too.
Oh, condo. That makes sense. Yeah, that was always fun. Yeah. Always good times.
Yeah. And then we had the May term perform. Was that also part? That was not children's opera. That was children's theater.
That was like a literal children's opera written by a local woman who would like use songs from pre-existing operas and like put them together and just change the lyrics, change the words. That was the most fun thing for me, being in part of a
children's that was fun for me too.
Yeah, and you went to like an elementary school to come see it, right?
Well, It was, yeah, no, I had, you guys didn't have any, you guys weren't doing any on campus because it was, I think it was just because May term and it was, everything was like, there was no one else on campus. So, yeah, I know. They let me in the elementary school. So I was like, yeah, they're going to let me in. I'll go watch. And it was actually, I mean, I liked it.
Yeah. I remember, I think you came like a second time too to see it. I feel like you came multiple times.
Well, you guys just ended up going all through the, like the different elementary schools, like Normal and like, yeah.
Yeah. So that was honestly so nice that you came and like supported because it just means so much. And obviously like I still remember and like you still remember and like it sticks with you, like going to these music performances, especially if they're good, then they really stick with you.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that, oh my gosh, just so many good memories from Illinois Wesleyan. And there's so many things that we could talk about that I don't even know like where to start with. But generally it was great. And I feel like we had that like group of friends from freshman year, and then it kind of evolved and it kind of like broke apart for a little bit. And then I remember senior year. So I know we had stayed in touch like here and there. And then senior year, like I lived off campus. You also lived off campus, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so it gets harder to keep in touch with people when you're living off campus. And like, I was auditioning for music, for grad schools, and you were probably interviewing, and well, you definitely were. Yeah. And then I remember like running into you on the train.
Oh yeah.
And back up. Like it would probably have been what, like January of senior year?
Probably.
And it was like, you know, you were getting off the train. I think we saw each other when we were like getting off the train. And it was like, oh, what are you doing? It's like, I'm auditioning. I'm going to an audition. What are you doing? Going to an interview.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah. And then we were like, oh my gosh, we should like get the group back together and we should like go out and enjoy the rest of senior year. And that's exactly what happened. And honestly, again, like great memories, nothing but positive things. And like, I just feel so lucky that we like ran into each other, and then we ended up, I had like such a great rest of my senior year because then I would go out with you and then you would come to the children's opera performance and.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, great times all around. It's definitely tough. Like if you do make those friends like early on and it's just like, we don't have any classes together just because different schools or departments or whatever. And it's like, oh, like we don't have, you know, sports to, you know, like obviously it made people make friends through sports and stuff like that. Oh, we don't have that. So I'm not seeing that person there. And then you just like kind of just get in like your rhythm of like I said, like, all right, I'm just going to hang out with the people I have classes with. And like, you just kind of, there's definitely like opportunities to like make new friends, but by making new friends, you there's transfers of friends back and forth. And sometimes it's hard to keep track of. And then sometimes, like you said, it just ends up working out where it's like, oh, hey, are you free? Let's go to this performance, or let's all get together and, you know, hang out.
Yeah. And that brings up like such an interesting point that I love talking about in the podcast. I mean, I talk about all these topics like having to do with the 20s. And I think, you know, there's this like transition between college and then once you leave college and trying to keep those friends. But we don't really talk a lot about like the transition of friendships, even in college, even from like freshman year to senior year, because yeah. I don't know. I mean, I changed a lot as a person, like from freshman year to senior year. And sometimes that meant like losing some friends or like changing, you know, friends. And there's so much transition that happens even like in those college years.
Yeah. You don't even realize it sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is exactly what happened when like we kind of grew apart or like didn't see each other for like that probably like sophomore junior year ish time. But it wasn't like for any particular reason. It was just like, oh, you know, we don't live in the same dorm anymore. That's number one. And we don't have classes together and all these things. So yeah, it's really interesting. But I think in the end, like, especially now being like 24, I kind of realized, like, okay, you have to make an effort to keep up with your friends. And even if that's like sending a text and being like, oh, like, how are you doing? Like, just very generally, every once in a while, it's so important, like, to keep up those friendships.
100%. 100%.
So moving on to like our lives and your life specifically post college.
I think we've had like just diametrically, like we've our lives after college just went like completely different, like complete opposites, like could not be more different what you're doing and what I'm doing.
Yeah, totally. But it's so good to get your perspective, because I think a lot of people, like a lot of my friends, are also in the arts, and so it's awesome to get a perspective of someone else doing something completely different. And so I love hearing what you do, and I'm going to have you explain to my podcast listeners a little bit about what you did right after college, and then we'll kind of get into like what you're doing now. But talk about your time in Japan. So Nick went over to Japan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right after college.
Well, I went, another reason why we didn't stay super close in the middle years of colleges, because I went junior year too. So I was there right for spring and summer, just because semesters are, they time them up differently over there. So I was there for pretty much the entire spring and all summer. So junior year, when I came back, I had like one, I don't think people know this, but I only had like 1 week of vacation, like in like August, before I just came back to Wesleyan. So like,
oh,
I didn't get a spring break. I didn't get a summer break. I was literally studying like June and July, like into August in that summer between junior, just because that's the calendar. So that wasn't fun, but the rest of it was pretty fun. And that kind of, that experience just kind of like made me want to go back if I had the opportunity. And I met some people there that and made like connection with people that like benefited me in the long run, because after graduating, well, even before graduating, I had a job offer to return and teach English at a like technical college in Tokyo. So I jumped on that, and then I headed back out after graduation in like September, so a couple months after. And then I was there for an entire year on my own, working and living as my first job out of college, which was probably just the craziest thing to do, is get your degree and then just go to a different country and just trying to figure it out pretty much. But it was the greatest experience I've ever been a part of. Couldn't have asked for anything different. I mean, it was challenging and rewarding at the same time every day. So it was definitely a process, to the point where, you know, like you get there and you're nervous, and it's like, oh, it's not only are you living in a different country, but it's your first job out of college. And it's like, oh, I have right to do good at this, or else. And it's not like I could have just like given up and been like, oh, I'm just going to go home. It's like, no, if I end up failing, like I have to leave the country. Like, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, stakes are high.
Yeah, so they were. But no, it ended up working out. Like after about a month, I got pretty much settled in, and just spent the next 10 months just getting to know all the students and forming good relationships with them. And then, of course, you know, my teachers as well, to just be the best teacher I could in the time that I had there. Even though it was a short time, I learned a lot about teaching, and I don't have an education background. I have a business background, so it was kind of different in that sense. But no, it did everything that I could to just help these kids out as much as possible. And I mean, hopefully it's benefited them now. I still keep in touch with a few of them. Some have some international jobs and they're able to travel, but most just got good jobs out of college with hopefully the interview prep that I was giving them and stuff like that.
So you were teaching at a college.
Yeah. So it's like a technical vocational school. So they specialize in sending people to like the airline industry or hotel industry, are their probably biggest ones. And like with that, they have an English department. So the English department is we probably had like 8 teachers or so, and then they teach all the English classes for any one of the other departments, where like, you know, they'll have, you know, probably 7 classes a day, and maybe 2 of them will be in English with me and another teacher, because their English grades were just as important as their like normal classes. So we were one of the languages there. They had other ones like Chinese and Korean and even Spanish. So we were just one of the languages that they could choose, but it's the most popular, obviously, because at the time when I was there, you know, I was just thinking back, they were like, oh, the Olympics are coming up. Like, we need to get ready. Like, we need to have these people like in place in like the service industry for all these English speaking people to come to our country. And now with virus, that the Olympics are not happening. No, there is huge demand for students that have like a customer facing role that we were kind of teaching these people, you know, to be. And then they also speak Japanese and English, just because of the tourism industry is booming in Japan. And with the Olympics, they hope that that would grow even more. I mean, I'm sure it will eventually, but just taking a break for right now, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I didn't realize you were out of college. That, I'm sure that is difficult. But
yeah.
What would you say was the biggest challenge being in Japan, like fresh out of college and like working and teaching English? Like, I mean, I feel like all of it sounds like a challenge, but like, what was the hardest part about it?
Probably just like, I mean, budgeting, honestly. Like, that was the first time I was getting like an adult paycheck, to the point where it's like, oh, I have to like watch what I do with my money. Cause like, obviously I wanted to travel. Like, I wanted to go out and, you know, spend it. Let's go on a trip, or, you know, let's go out and do like a big dinner together as like a group, whether it's students or teachers. I wanted to just go spend it all and basically just live up as much as I could while I was there. But at the end of the day, it's like, nope, you have more responsibilities past the immediate future you need to be saving for.
I don't know. I feel like if I were in another country and I were working, it would kind of feel like a vacation for a little bit, and then it would sink in and feel like, oh my gosh, I actually live here. Is that true? Or did it feel like, did you feel like you were actually like settled and you were living there?
No, I get where you're coming from, but after a while you do get settled, and it's like, oh, you know, you fall into your routine. Like, I had great people around me. So, you know, I had my own, like, I had my own bike. Like, they just gave me a bike. The school gave me a bike to use, and it was like mine. I rode around town a lot. They gave me my own apartment. Like, the school just furnished that for me, with, you know, everything that I needed in it. So, everyone was super helpful just getting you set up. And then, you know, I had my own schedule at school and work. So like, you know, I was coming in, you know, somewhat early in the morning, but staying late. So not too much time like during the week to like actually do stuff, but that's where you prioritize your weekends, and you do a lot of planning, like I said, like in the future. So, you know, making trip plans for, you know, whether it's fall or spring, just kind of saving your money for those big expenses.
For sure. And how was the culture different, and how did you adapt to that?
It's drastically different, I would say. So at the time, like, I speak a little Japanese. I speak way less now, just because I haven't had to in a while. But at the time, I did speak a little more Japanese than I do now. So I could, like, there was no issues with, like, you know, getting around or like finding anything and anything like that. But, you know, like, it's weird when, like, if you like think about it, like, anytime, you know, we're in America, if there's an issue, you can just walk up to someone on the street and like explain yourself and explain the issue, and like, whether they're going to help you or not is a different story, but you can at least explain that to someone. So if you think about, like, if I was to go up to anyone on the street in Tokyo and then like explain, like, I was in like a dire situation, like I needed help, and I had to like use this like deep vocabulary, like, I just couldn't do it. Like, no, like, there's that sort of like language barrier that you have to get past, like that mindset almost. And then from there, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to communicate how I know to communicate, you know, and yes, there are people that help you out, but the language barrier is definitely the, I'd say, the biggest thing to get over. And then if you do know the language of the country you're in, whether it's Japan or wherever, I'm sure at that point it just feels like, you know, you're just a second citizen pretty much. But I definitely felt not different, but like, you just don't get to immerse yourself in everything. Like, you can't read, you know, like the newspaper, or you don't know exactly what a billboard or sign says. So like, just little things like that where you pick up on, where it's like, oh, you know, if I was back in the US, like, I'd be able to read that and figure that out. But those are probably the biggest things. Like, you just like you always find like the little things where it's like, oh, you know, like that's different than the US. Or I had a guy that the postman that delivered all our mail, like we had the first place I lived, we had like bells by like our Dropbox, and he would always ring those. But if you had a package, he would just like ring it a bunch until like, cause it goes into your room, like your apartment room. So mm-hmm. if he thought you were home, he would just keep ringing the bell. And it's like, dude, you can just leave the package there. Like, they're just the honesty, sincerity, and like the, how nice they are is just different. Like, they don't want to make you feel like out of place, or they want to make you feel welcome. So it's like those little like nice things that they do. And it's like, just leave the package there. Like, I don't need to like see you and like take it, but no, they want to hand you this package and tell you, you know, you have a good day and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I love that. Oh my gosh.
They're more inquisitive than anything. Like, it's just like, oh, like how, you know, what's Illinois like? Like, what's Chicago like? Like, you know, obviously like I was dealing with college students, and like the way that they have like college is just completely different than the way we have college. So like, they would go to school for 1 year, and then they'd spend a year or two in an internship or studying abroad, and then they'd come back and graduate. So half of the time that they're a student, they're actually not even at the school. They're away getting like their internship credit or studying abroad, just getting more English experience. So it's not like a 4-year system like we have, you know. So there's people coming and going every semester, you know, just based on their schedule. So there's always something like new, but the people that, you know, you meet every semester, it's very much like they want to get to know you, because it's like most people just want to be a friend, and they want to like just find out more about your life that is just completely different than theirs. You know, they grew up in Tokyo, they don't have cornfields in the middle, you know, surrounding their school. You know, they take a train every day. Most people don't drive. Most people don't have a car. Everyone rides a bike. Just things like that, where it's like, you know, you're talking to this 20-year-old, you know, Japanese student, and you're like, oh, you know, like what are you gonna buy when you get out of school? Like, what kind of car are you gonna get? And they're like, I'm never gonna drive a car in my life. Like, I never have that. So it's just things like that where, you know, you just, people are more interested in the life differences and how you live your life, and like more so that. And, you know, of course, if it's, you know, how do I say this phrase in English, and it's, you know, figuring out like the slang and things like that, and how people like actually talk, as opposed to, you know, in an English textbook, it's very strict and straightforward, but, you know, we don't talk like that. So it's kids wanting to know those like nuances to the languages and figuring that out. And of course, you know, I ask them, you know, the same in Japanese.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. I think like being immersed in another culture is probably the best way to like learn about it. So I feel like you probably learned just as much as they did, not in like an academic sense, but in other ways.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's as soon as you get out of the like classroom experience of, you know, the student teacher relationship, and you take it more so as like, oh, we're friends and we're teaching each other about like our lives and how we live. That's where you can kind of, you know, get more like out of like the, yes, this is how you form a correct sentence, and here's how you use a comma. Like, there's more ways to learning than just out of the book.
For sure. Definitely. So then you were there for a year, and then did you, like, was your contract up, or did you decide you wanted to come back? Like, what happened then?
No, so it was a one-time contract for 11 months or whatever it was. So I had no option of renewing it. They bring in a new college graduate or two every year. So they just keep fresh faces rolling in, and it is, you know, a year-long internship is how they like market it to like the schools that they work with. But no, I mean, people do stay. I had one of my colleagues who was in the same program in year that I was. After her contract was over, she just got a job as an English teacher with another company, and I think she's still there right now.
Wow.
So yeah, she's living permanently there and just teaching English somewhere else. So it's absolutely possible to stay for an extended period of time. There's a need for English teachers, and if you're a native English speaker, you come from, you know, a country like the US or the UK or Australia, New Zealand, that's really all they need. If you have a college degree, you're even more qualified, but you just really need to be a native English speaker, and you probably have a good chance of teaching English.
Nice. But how did you end up back in the United States then?
Oh yeah. So when I was leaving the last couple of months when I was in Japan, I was like, I was kind of thinking of jobs that I could like look into, or, you know, would have some similarities. So I wanted to be connected to students, helping students out in some way, whatever capacity I could really find. In the US, when like a international student wants to come to the US, there's different visa programs. So I was looking into those, seeing like, oh, how are these programs run? You know, what is basically, how does a student come to the US to study or do whatever they want? And the way it works is there's visa sponsors. So there's companies that the Department of State sponsors. So I was looking at those, and there's actually a couple in Chicago. And I was like, well, I want to come back to Chicago and Illinois. So I actually applied for a job at one of the visa sponsors. And I actually got it. So I was shocked. They interviewed me like three times. I wasn't really expecting them to, you know, pick me. But I secured that job. Helping students, whether it's mostly high school students, come over for a year or multiple years to study high school, possibly get their high school diploma. And then there are other programs for college students to come in the summer for short times and things like that. So that's how I kind of just went from international students to international students in like a different role. But no, that job, my second job, I loved it. Got to deal more so on the business side of things, not so much student focus. So I was mainly doing business development. So talking with partner companies, talking about contracting, negotiating, training them on like how our programs are run. Because if you want a visa from basically our company to, you know, co-sign your visa with the Department of State, you know, you need to adhere to our program rules and guidelines and things like that. So training people on that, and just trying to give students the best experience they had when they came to the US on whatever program they were coming on. That's really what the role was.
Nice. Did you use your like international business degree more so in that role?
Yeah, absolutely. The teaching, not, I didn't really get trained on that. I kind of, that was more on the spot, but no, the second role after I came back, yeah, that was more so in line with my degree, and it helped out a lot because, I probably didn't take the class that I did at Wesley, and then I wouldn't know how to, you know, go to conferences with, you know, hundreds of people from all over the world and talk about pricing and you know, trainings and having these like in-depth conversations about, you know, like, can our two companies agree on this contract and this price and things like that. So that's where that 4 years of international business came in.
Yeah, but I'm sure it was like your degree plus like you being in Japan for a year and having studied there, like I'm sure that really helped you out.
No, absolutely. I mean, I guess that would be my advice to anyone is just get as much experience as you can doing whatever you think you want to do. And you really can't go wrong. I mean, you'll never go wrong just going for it, pretty much. You know, if you spend a year in Japan and then come back to Chicago, you might find something that's similar or something, you know, that builds off of what you learned.
Nice. So you found that job like you had something lined up already, like while you were in Japan?
Yeah, I had it lined up for about 2 months.
That's so great.
Yeah, I mean, that worked out. It was perfect timing. But what I didn't know is, like, the first week I was at my new job back in Chicago, I learned that, like, they didn't think I was going to show up. Like, they just didn't believe that I was going to show up on, like, the first day. Like, they were like, yep, we just hired this guy from Japan. We have no guarantee if he's going to show up the first day. Because, like, I wasn't able to ever meet anyone. Like, I never met my boss. I never met the CEO. Like, it was all Zoom calls. And I couldn't drop off my, like, driver's license for them to, like, you know, run a background check on me for, you know, they didn't do any of that. They just basically hired me and said, yeah, we're kind of trusting you just to show up the first day of work. And that's, you know, in 2 months. So they were like, okay, we're hiring you for 2 months out. We usually don't do that. And I was like, okay, well, you can trust me. Like, I need this job.
You're
so
scamming them.
Yeah, no, like, I really want to work for you. So yeah, I'll be there.
Nice. So you worked there for how long then?
I was there, another year, about 11 months, 11 months or a year. Yeah.
Okay. And then you decided to move back to Central Illinois?
Yep. So, our apartment in Chicago for all the, I know you live in the suburbs, but if you ever do end up moving to Chicago, massive space decrease from what you're probably used to. And same thing with me. You know, me and my girlfriend, we had a one bedroom apartment, a nice place. But it was just cramped and crowded and we were just paying too much for a small space. And, we both found opportunities outside of Chicago, that we both wanted to take. So the timing kind of worked out where I was looking at opportunities to leave Chicago and so was she. So it kind of both worked out for us. We were like, okay, we can take these other jobs and stuff like that. And then add in the other element of we found a house to rent for much cheaper than our apartment in Chicago. So it kind of all just like lined up perfectly where it's like, okay, we have a house, we both have jobs, we can make this work, you know, like basically just changing both of our entire lives pretty much in the span of a couple months. It kind of just worked out like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, like, hey, sometimes things work out that way. I am a very strong believer in kind of a cliche that like everything happens for a reason, but I don't like to say that. I say everything happens in its right time.
Yep.
And like, that sounds exactly like that because sometimes, you know, opportunities pop up and you take them and then, you know, you learn and you grow and then it's like, okay, it's time to move on to the next one, but you don't always know like if it's going to work out, if you're going to get that job, if you like, sometimes you really want a job and then it doesn't work out or, you know, but I really think like if it's meant to be, like you will follow the path that you're supposed to be on and the timing will work out. So like, you know, with you and like your girlfriend getting those jobs at the same time and like, you know, finding a house to rent, like that's great. So yeah.
No, I mean, if you picked up on anything from my story, it's probably that you got to take a couple of risks, like definitely taking some risks. I never would have imagined I would go to Japan once or twice, let alone, you know, work there and live there for a year. So you got to take some risks, definitely, especially early on. Like we can afford to take risks. Like we just don't, you know, have that much like invested, you know, like I don't know if you're planning on buying a house soon, but I'm probably not. Like we're not, you don't need to make those big purchases. You can take risks early on out of college and, you know, just sort of figure it out and you have that time. And I feel like people should do that a little bit more often. I mean, that rolls perfectly into you. Like, who would ever thunk you did the jobs that you did this past summer and, you know, be where you are?
Right. I know. I have like four different things. And it's like, I never would have imagined that I would be living in Massachusetts, working four different jobs, able to like sing and do the administration. Like, I'm kind of like doing everything that I ever wanted to do, but I didn't know that I even wanted to do it until like, you know, the things come along your path and then you realize what you do and don't like to do. And so, yeah, it's totally crazy. And I don't think like it's fate or, but I also don't think it's like a coincidence. I think that things do happen the way they're supposed to, whatever that means, however you want to take that. But yeah, going back to you. So now you are currently working in Bloomington, right?
Yep. Yep. At State Farm. So that's where I've been since we got back down here. It's probably where I'll be for the foreseeable future. But no, it's been good moving back down here. So we've got more space, obviously just not in the city. And there's still, like we were talking about the other week, is we still have college friends in the area, whether it's, you know, Champaign or Bloomington area. So it's just a good place to be. We go over this again, but if you would have told me, you know, leaving Wesleyan after graduating, I probably would have been like, I'm probably never going to come back to Bloomington. And then, you know, just years down the line, it ends up working out like that, where it's like, no, it makes sense to come back. And it in all areas of life, it did. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you like your job now?
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad. If you have an audience just rabid for auto insurance questions, I can probably answer those, but I'm not assuming that's your demographic on the podcast.
I don't know, but hey, if you're out there and you're listening, you know,
if you got questions, feel free. Yeah, why not? But no, yeah, it's auto insurance and auto injury. So that's kind of what I do now.
Nice. So it all worked out coming back to Bloomington.
Yeah, no, it's working out great. Yeah, you talk about, you know, just like the roller coaster that like we've all been on since, you know, graduating. And I feel like you and me, our roller coasters are like up and down, like never know which way it's going to go, but it ends up working out for the best.
I think that relates or is relatable for a lot of people like in their 20s, like this roller coaster of like, you don't know where you're going to be. Like, I don't even know where I'm going to be in like, let's say like 3 or 4 years. Like, I know what I want to do now that I have like a set number of things. I know what I want to do for like the next few years, but it's like beyond that, I don't know. And the one thing I've personally learned is like, you cannot plan out your life. You can try, you can have ideas and you can have goals and dreams, and those are all great, but you cannot plan anything.
Nope. It just doesn't end up working. Like, I was now planning on going back to Japan, and then I found this, you know, internship job offer, and I was like, well, it makes sense to do it. And then, you know, coming back, I was like, well, you know, I'm not planning on, you know, going into teaching full time, and I didn't, but you know, that's a route I could have gone down, as you know, going down an education path. So it's like you said, don't plan or do very little planning, but just be confident in your decisions. Like, just go with it and, you know, try and make the best out of whatever you're in. And if that's the attitude you have, you're probably gonna do some good, if not more good, rather than bad.
Right. Like, work hard. You know, like, do put all the things in place that you need to be successful. Like, I mean, I don't mean like totally throw everything out the window, but at the same time, like, I never thought I'd be where I am. Like, you just said you didn't think you'd be going back to Japan. Like, I could probably talk to so many more people in their 20s who are doing completely different things than they ever thought. So yeah, I think you're a really good example of just the idea that you can't plan out your life, and things will work out the way that they are meant to be. And, you know, just trust that. And if you work hard and you do everything to be successful, like, it will pay off in some way or another. But
yeah,
it's not always easy either. Like, I make it sound like, these four jobs fell into my lap, and it's like, that was not the case. And I'll go into that.
At no point are those four jobs ever easy doing them, but.
Right. Like, it's hard. I make it sound so easy. I'm like, oh, I just have all this stuff going on and it's great. And it's like, I love what I'm doing, but yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
So,
that's the thing, is you love it. And like, I love like my journey and what I'm doing now, but it's like, yeah, we love it. But like, it's also still like, there's work. Like,
yeah. Yeah. You didn't just like magically get there.
No.
Yeah. I think that is a good closing of the podcast here, just with that advice, to not plan out your life so much. And yeah, thank you so much, Nick, for being on the podcast.
No, thank you for having me.
Of course. And I will see you all again next Monday for the next episode of On the Brink.